Amen. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. A couple verses we have been working through, and we want to tag on to what we ended with last week. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, in the latter part tells us, "Let us run with patience." This is the King James Version. "Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." I wanted to bring those together like we did before, because the life that you're living should be the race that God wants you running. The life you're living, now that's not always the case, because many people don't always, when you're growing in things of God, don't always realize that you're here for an assignment, you're here for a purpose, that God wants you to do something. That it's not a matter of just copying other people. You can run the race of somebody else and find yourself, you think winning, but being disqualified if you weren't called to run that race. So there's a race, there's assignment that God wants you to do. I see that being played out in the Gospels when Jesus said, "In the last days, many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we?" And list a bunch of great things. "Didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out devils? Didn't we heal the sick? Didn't we do all this?" And some people will use that as a way of showing that God doesn't want you to do that anymore, but that's not the case. Because later on in the scripture, we see the Bible talking about the gifts of the Spirit and the things of God and healing and miracles. But he goes on to say, "I'll look at them and say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity." Now, the reason, as you study that, that used to bother me, because I'm thinking, okay, if someone came up to you and said, "Listen, I'm working for your company, and I've got great sales, and I've helped build a building, and I've done all this for your business," you wouldn't look at them and say, "You need to get away." Right. You would say, "Thank you. Man, I had the walls painted a different color. I had everything redecorated in your office. And all of a sudden, they're telling you this, and you're looking at them saying, do they work for us?" And in the text, it actually says, because in the King James, it says, "You workers of iniquity." If you break the word iniquity down, it literally means you who did unauthorized works. So it's not that they weren't doing something good. It was they were doing something God never asked them to do. So there's a race that God wants you to run. It's not trying to compete with people or matching people or looking like people. That's why I love it about Hope Church. We do things a little different than a lot of churches, and it doesn't mean they're bad or we don't like them. We love everybody. Can I get an amen? Can I get a better amen? But I love the diversity of style that we incorporate. It always makes me nervous when I walk into a space and everybody looks the same. Not just race, but age, clothing style. Everybody's wearing the same color. I don't know about you. That might be a sense of comfort and security. To me, it freaks me out. Because I'm always the one that doesn't match anybody in the room. Can I get a better amen? Amen. And so, I mean, I like the idea, and that's always been part of our DNA, that God's created you uniquely different. Your fingerprints are different. God's created you unique. So you don't have to praise like the person next to you. You don't have to shout. Now, some people are shouters. And we celebrate that. Some people are very quiet, and we celebrate that. It's not trying to worship like the person next to you. It's not trying to minister like the person next to you. It's not trying to talk like the person next to you. It's learning to find your DNA, your style with heaven. Who's God created you? If you're a shouter, then I encourage you. When music's going, when preaching's going, you better shout. Because if you're a shouter and you don't shout, you're in rebellion. If you're like, "What are you doing?" "I'm experiencing God right now." You need to do that. You need to walk in this relationship with Jesus. I don't know who I'm talking to. This is not in my notes. But so many times in the church world, everybody is conformed to a mold. Maybe it's the mold of the way the pastor or the first lady does things. Maybe it's the mold of certain people. Maybe it's the mold of a denomination. This is the way we look. This is the way we act. This is the way we talk. And everybody fits into the mold. Well, Romans tells me, Romans 12, not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of my mind, which is a transformation from the Word of God. I take that even in the church world. I don't want people to be conformed to what the church looks like. Because you know what has happened over the years is there's a lot of churches that have been working really hard to get everybody to look the same. At the end of the day, if there's no power, what's the point?
Exactly.
If their prayers don't get answered, what's the point?
Right.
If lives aren't getting changed, what's the point?
Right.
If there's no difference being made, what's the point? We all of a sudden become a very polished social club that we can come and greet and encourage each other. But if there's no life to it, if God's not in it, and if God's in it, let me tell you, not everybody's going to have the same style. You'll have runners, you'll have people kneeling, you'll have people sitting, you'll have people standing, you'll have people clapping, people shouting, people crying, people, it's all different. Why? Because God created us all uniquely different. There's a race for you to run. Say, there's a race for me to run. How do I know? In that verse, it says, let's run the race set before us. Let God, I'm going to free some people here right at the beginning before I even get to my notes. This is in my spirit. I want you to be free to be you.
Amen.
I want you to be free to follow the word of God. Amen?
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
Now, don't get weird and start changing and say, well, you know what I mean? I kill people. That's just me. That's murder. That's against the word of God. You're going to hell. You need to get that fixed. Amen? Some people will take everything and they'll even include sin as saying, that's me, that's not you, that's what the devil's caused you to believe that's you. But when it comes to serving God and worshiping God and following God, I want you to be free to follow what he's revealed to you.
Amen. Amen.
Because you can't do everything. You're not called to do everything. I used to deal with this, and I know many of you probably don't, but growing up in the church and the things of God, I used to deal with the condemnation side because I couldn't match up to people that I admired. And I would see people, and man, you know, there are some people, they are wired to soul win. Oh, man, every place they go, they invite people to know Jesus. They stop them. They'll talk to strangers. And I remember back in the day, it was all about tracks. Remember those?
Yeah.
We'd have preachers come through, and that was their gifting about evangelism. And they would almost make you feel bad if you weren't standing outside the corner across the street of a bar on a Friday night to get all the people drunk coming out so you could stop them and say, if you were to die tonight, do you know where you'd spend eternity? Anybody remember those days?
Yeah.
That was just, and I learned that under the pressure, I would try it. Oh, I'd get under guilt. Oh, I got to do this. I want Jesus to be happy with me. So I would get some tracts, and I'd find people, and I'd hand out tracts, and I'd try to have those confrontational conversations. And you know what I found? It didn't work for me.
Right.
And after a while, I would just forget about it. And then I'd feel better because I forget about it until someone comes around and preaches about it again. But what they were doing, because evangelism is important. Don't misunderstand. We should all be evangelizing. But what the danger was is they had formulated their style to be the standard for everybody else.
Right.
And I was trying to adopt their style as my standard, and it was a weight I could not carry.
Right.
There's a lot of Christians, you might be carrying weights of good things, but maybe not the way God's called you to do it. And so you live under the burden of trying to match up to somebody else that maybe you respect, admire, or think they're doing the right thing. And you can do that in your praise. You can do that in your evangelism. There's some people, they are so anointed. They're so gifted to evangelize. And the way they do it, I can't do it their way. I found my way to do it.
Yes.
And it works for me.
Amen.
And I've had people where I could pray with them that never been to church, invite them to church, see them come to church. But you can't do everything. You've got to find your style, what God reveals to you. Run the race set before you. We have people that they love reaching the community. I mean, we have an amazing group of people that love feeding, ministering, reaching the community. That's not for everybody. Not everybody can do that. Some people are like, I need to be praying. I want to pray. And some people are like, I need to be studying the word because it's all about the word. Someone said, well, praise God for the word, but we need to worship because, you know, the Bible says that God seeks us to worship him. We need to focus on worship. And what you have to come to the realization that all are equally important, but all are uniquely different, and all of us are not supposed to compete. We're all supposed to complete. It's called the body of Christ. The eye can't say to the hand or the head to the foot, I don't need you. We all need each other.
Amen.
Because we encourage each other. Should we all be praying? Absolutely. Should we all be reading and studying the Bible? Absolutely. But some are specialized with those areas. Should all be reaching out to the community? Absolutely. But sometimes we do it as a whole when you can't do everything.
Right.
If you try to do everything, you would burn yourself out.
Yes.
But I love seeing the results of everything. I love seeing the results of everything. I love meeting a dear lady that came up to the this past Wednesday. She had come on Monday to do something we started a few months ago called senior shopping. And that's like a grocery store set up just for people 16 over, anybody in the community. And that thing has just exploded. I had to tell my sister who's over it, I said, stop promoting it just a little bit. We got to catch up. See, I come more from the business side. And I understand in business that one of the, besides having no one buy your product, one of the worst things that can happen is too fast a growth.
Yeah.
And you dilute the product because you're trying to catch up. I said, stop promoting just a little bit. Let's catch up. Because it went from just 20 or 30 people to 200 plus.
Yes.
That's exponential growth of people shopping. But we had a dear lady come in, and I had a chance to meet her, who came Monday and then showed up Wednesday. First time was Monday, came Wednesday just to help. And as they were introducing her to me, I was shaking her hand, said, glad to have you. She was probably in her 70s. I don't know if she's here, so I don't want to guess her age. I offend somebody already. And she looked at me, and she said, my son's died. And she said, and they've all left me, and I don't have anybody. And we looked at her and said, you have family now. I wasn't there Monday. Some of you were. Or the dear gentleman that showed up on a day to get clothes in his 80s. His son had died. He didn't have a suit for the funeral and didn't have money to buy clothes. God is moving in so many different ways, from spiritual to practical, but we're seeing people's lives touched. We just had, just the other day, one of our teams, you know, and we were always growing. One of our teams, they started going out to this, there's a company in Hayeswood called Valley Industrials, I believe it is, and they minister to adults that are special needs adults, that many of them are ward of the state because their parents have died and there's nobody to watch them. And so they take care of them and they give them jobs. And so, but they don't have much. And so we have teams of people that start going to minister to them, and they thought, hey, let's give them a chance to shop. And so they were able to come this past week and did a nice write-up in their Facebook page, if you ever go there, about having the opportunity to come and folks, I love, there's always something going on at Hope Church every day. If you're like, I'm bored and I just need to, you need to get involved and help people, you know what I mean? Because there's so many people being helped. But you know what? Pastor didn't unbox one suit, one piece of clothing. I didn't put anything on a hanger. I didn't move any hangers out to the thing. I didn't do any of that. Not because I can't. I can't do everything. You can't do everything. There's people doing one part. There's somebody else doing another part. There's another person who's out there who's praying for the people at the altars. There's people that are leading worship. There's people that are opening doors, inviting people. There's people right now that are out in what we call the parking lot ministry, and there's people out there ministering to the ones that still are not comfortable to come in, but they're sitting in the car and right now are listening to you and feel a part because they're a part of who we are and what we're doing. And there's people out there ministering. There's people in the coffee house right now that are being ministered to that don't want to come necessarily in the auditorium, but want to sit and take notes and do it that way, and that's fine. And we have people out there ministering. There's kids that are being ministered to right now. And you might say, I don't want to watch no kids. You don't have to. There's people who love ministering to kids. A lot of different people doing a lot of different things. And you know, the key is for success, finding what God wants you to do. Run the race.
Yes. Set before you.
Set before you. Unfortunately, what happens at a lot of churches, especially if the pastor don't understand the revelation of this, is that when people come, they're like, oh, I love the church. What can I do? They'll start putting them in places that there's a need. We don't put people in a place that there's a need. We firmly believe that the Lord, that Jesus is the head of this house and that he knows what we need. And before we know there's a need, he's already made provision. So our job is to find out who God's connected for that need. But we don't put people where they're needed. We put people where they're gifted. We free people to do what God's called them to do. We launch them into what God's called them to do. And you know what happens? People love ministry then. People excel in ministry then. You're like, man, I'm into sports. I don't know what I can do. Hey, we'll start a sports league and let you be over it. We'll find something for you to do. Because out of that connection, you say, what would that be a ministry? Because you surprise You get a bunch of people together playing sports, they'll have their times of getting upset, but they'll also have their times of mentoring each other. And you'll find people being ministered to and people getting saved and people coming to church. Why? Because that's the way the life of the church flows.
Right.
Run the race set before you. See, I'm running the race that is set before me. And the key to that is we look unto Jesus, the author, that means the start, the first, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the author. He's the completer of our faith. Say, he's the completer of my faith. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing the word. And please, challenge every idea that's said by me. Challenge every idea said by anybody. Never warmly embrace any idea without spending time in the word challenging it for your growth. But Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. John 1:1 and John 1:14 tells us that Jesus is the word, and the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Can I get an amen? And so what we have to understand is that Jesus is the one that started you on this race that he's setting before you. But that doesn't mean he starts you and leaves you. He stays with you. And when we keep our focus on the word and him, guess what? He will bring it to completion. He which has begun the good work, the Bible says, he which has begun a good work in you will complete it. If you let him, he will complete it. It's out of a relationship and time you spend with him and the word and worship and serving. He will complete it. He will bring you to the place of completion. He's the true finisher of your faith. But times in the journey of life, we deal with the pressures of faith, the winds of faith. And carrying into our last text that we ended last week with, Matthew's Gospel chapter 14, verse 28, the Amplified Translation, says, Peter replied to Jesus, and they were in a boat, and he said, Lord, if it's really you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water. And when he came toward Jesus, but when he saw the effects of the wind, he was frightened and began to sink. So he's walking out of the boat, something that he could make, onto the water, something he has no ability to do, but he was doing it toward Jesus after the request or the invitation of Jesus. See, I'm a firm believer that if the other disciples would have jumped, the other disciples would have drowned. Well, God's no respecter of persons. He's not. But it's all about a specific invitation.
Yes.
Run the race set before you. What is he inviting you to be a part of? What is he inviting you to do? And that's when you begin, listen, that's when you begin to see not only success, that's not only when you begin to see you moving forward and getting involved, that's not only when you begin to see results, that's when you begin to see, listen to me, church, we have made things almost spooky sometimes in the church world. That's when you begin to see supernatural results. Because we live in a day and an hour that the church doesn't need to be doing something. We need to be doing something supernatural. What we do needs to be with God involved so that it is producing supernatural results. That doesn't have to be weird or spooky. It doesn't mean angels are necessarily showing up. It means that God is on your side. God's empowering you and God's enabling you and God is producing through you. Freely you have received, freely give. Let God work through you. A lot of people, they're, and no disrespect, but some churches, they're no better than just an organization.
Right.
They're great, and you need organization. And organization and discipline will help you produce a lot. But when you do it just purely on organization, you carry the weight of it. And some of you have been carrying the weight of good things because you have not allowed God to do his thing.
All right.
Wow, we are so far from the notes. Let's get back. But when he saw the effects of the wind, when he saw the effects of the wind. I like the Amplified Translation. It wasn't when he felt the wind, when he saw the negative effect of what the wind was doing.
Yeah.
When he saw the effects of the wind, he was what? He was frightened and he began to sink. And he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately, Jesus extended his hand and caught him and saying to him, oh, you little faith, why do you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. I love that. Jesus could have stopped the wind before he got into the boat. But Peter needed to learn something, that you can still walk on water even when there's a wind blowing.
Yes.
Do you know what happens in the church? Well, sometimes, and we do this sometimes as parents, we want to make everything just sterile and calm and smooth. No opposition. But sometimes you got to learn to walk when there's opposition. Sometimes you got to learn to work hard even when people are talking bad about you. Now, Jesus didn't cause the wind. But sometimes we got to realize we want God, make everybody like me, make everything smooth. And if he was to do that today, what do you do tomorrow if it didn't happen? You would be devastated. No, there's a better way. There's a better way. It's just not walking in the boat that's trying to get you to the side. It's just not walking on the water, which is impossible. It's walking on the water, doing the impossible when there's opposition against you. Some of us don't want opposition. Most people don't want opposition. But we have to learn that even in opposition, God still shines bright. Even in the darkness, the light can still shine. Even in the impossible, things can still happen. In Romans 4, Abraham, even against all hope, he believed in hope. Why? Because it wasn't looking for perfect scenarios. Ecclesiastes says, he who monitors the wind will never sow, and he who monitors the weather will never reap. Why? Because they look to the external that they can't control to determine what they should do. And you got to come to a place that, like Romans says, that you are not moved by what you feel. You are not moved by what you see. You are not moved by what you hear. You are moved by the word of God. And if God tells you to step, you start walking. Not because it feels good. Not because it looks good. Not because it's calm. But because the master has invited you to take a step. Well, I don't know if it's a good time to invite somebody to church. If Jesus speaks to your heart to invite them, start inviting them. Well, I don't know if I start praying for those people, I don't know if a difference will be made. If God places upon your heart to start praying for them, you start praying for them. We sometimes overanalyze everything. And you got to understand, you are not God. You are part of the body of Christ. You are not Jesus. Quit overanalyzing it. You know what you need to do? What he shows you to do. And there'll be people that might pressure you to do even good things. But if the good things become a weight, the Bible tells me to lay aside every weight and sin that easily besets us. Some of us carry weights because we've allowed people to tell us what to do. And the fear of man has caused us to obey the voice of people. And because we are obeying the voice of people, we don't have time or opportunity to obey what God is telling us to do. And you got to sometimes clean the slate and say, wait a minute, those are good things, but God hasn't placed it on my heart to do it. I'm not going to do it because I need to do what God shows me to do. And when God shows you to do something, step out of the boat. It won't be and won't look and won't feel like a perfect scenario. God's not calling you out on waters that are smooth. He could smooth it, but he wants you to know that he is the God of all creation. He created God what all things, and without him nothing was made that was made. He can smooth it out, but he wants you to trust him when there's a wave. He wants you to trust him when there's a wind. He wants you to trust him when they're talking about you. He wants you to trust him when the doctor's report is final. He wants you to trust him when all hope is gone. He wants you to trust. He didn't create the problem, but he wants you to be able to stand with the authority of command, the authority of conquest, and say, wait a minute, if the game's not over just because it looks over. Some of you have put the game away and walked away and say, I failed. It's over. It'll never happen for me. And I'm telling you, get the game back out. Let the devil know that you might have been knocked down last round, but you are not done. The fight's not over. You got another round. And if you don't win that round, stand back up and say another round. It's not over until you give up. It's not over until you reach destiny. It's not over. Start taking the authority of the word and say, I'm not moved by what it looks like. I'm going to obey God who's calling me. When they got back in the boat, it got calm. Jesus, why didn't you make it calm when I'm walking? Because I want you to know that you can walk even on disrupted waves of storms of the enemy when you're anchored to the word. Now, Jesus said it this way in his teaching. Anybody who hears my words and does them is as a person who's built their house on the rock. And when the storms and the winds blow and the waves beat against the house, it will stand. Amen. Say, I'm exempt. Wow, can you imagine if all of a sudden when you're standing inside and everybody's freaking out about their house being knocked over and you stand calmly and say, I'm exempt. Because the word says when it's over, I'm still standing. If Peter would have looked at the waves and said, I'm exempt, most people would be sinking. Most people wouldn't even be out of the boat.
Right.
Most people, if they came out of the boat, would be swimming.
Yep.
The very fact that he started something in me that caused me to stand and walk should also reveal to me he's not going to let me drown. He was frightened and began to sink, and he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus extended his hand and caught him. And Jesus said, "Oh, you have little faith." I'll tell you what. This is not like, well, at least you tried. Jesus is on his case a little bit. I love that. "Oh, you of little faith, come on." Grabs them, lifts them up, and they get in the boat, and then everything gets calm. There's battles in life.
Yes.
Every day shouldn't be a battle.
Amen.
It's not unusual to have battles. It is unusual to live in battles nonstop. There needs to be a calmness in your life, too. There needs to be seasons of victory. But in battles, we need to keep moving toward obeying the word.
Amen.
Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. But I want you to notice a couple things, and I want to draw attention to. And this is, on a personal note, as I was going to bed last night, and typically I am a pretty sound sleeper. I fall asleep pretty fast. I lay my head on my pillow, and I'm out. Used to deal with insomnia a long time ago when I was a kid. Oh, if you ever dealt with insomnia, oh, not good. Hours, hours, hours. And then I got a hold of the scripture that says that he gives his beloved sweet sleep. So I figure, well, there's a scripture now I have. So nowadays, I typically fall asleep. Last night, I just couldn't fall asleep. And these three words kept coming to me. Observation, inclination, destination.
Right.
At first, I thought it's keeping me up, and it kept coming until I eventually got on my phone, and I just started typing it on my notes on my phone. See, observation, inclination, destination. Say with me, observation, inclination, destination. Here's what I want to close out with. In the story of Peter walking on the water, we all can agree, because it's pretty obvious in the text, that when Peter chose to change his observation, his focus, when he took his eyes off Jesus and looked around, and like we said last week, it's okay to have times where you stop and look around, but when you're fighting in the fight of faith, that's not the time to be looking around. That's not the time to get everybody's opinion. That's not time, are you listening to me, church? That's not the time to post things on social, please pray for me. You don't want, oh, I need more people to pray, but you'll have more people talking negative words about you than you will praying for you. Not everybody loves you. You got to realize that.
Right.
I had a dear sweet lady saying, "Pastor, I just ran into somebody. I got so mad at him." I said, "Why?" She said, "He started talking. He doesn't like you." And I said, "Well, join the club." Didn't know which part of my family they were talking about, but, you know, I didn't say. No, I'm joking. So you talked to my mother today. No, I'm joking. I said, "Well, why?" "I don't know, but I carry." "Well, why?" "I don't." He said that, yada, 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 so many years ago. I said, "I don't even remember the event, but, you know, we just love people." You can't worry about everybody loving you. The more people, if your goal is to get everybody, this human nature, to get people to love you and validate you, it's a trap of the enemy, because when he gets it there, he dangles it, he can pull it away by having somebody not like you. But so we all can agree that Peter's focus got away from the word or from Jesus and began to see the effects of the wind, the effects of what the enemy was doing. And he started to sink. We can all agree that that affected his final destination because he started to sink.
Yeah.
That's all obvious. I want to talk about not the observation or not the destination, but I just want to focus on the inclination. If you look at the definition under the word inclination, it means the natural tendency or the desire to do something. What are you inclined to do? And I want to draw your attention to this because I believe this is a key element in the battles of life. If you ever, and we all will sometime, you're dealing with the fight of faith, you're believing for something, you're praying for something, and there's great winds of opposition against you, we want to keep our focus on the word. And the reality is that the enemy's tactic, and Paul tells us in the scripture that we're not ignorant of the devil's devices, is that he'll try to blow the winds to create an effect. Are you listening? And you can see this in the text, to create fear. Now, let me, for some of you, you've been saved for a long time. For some of you, salvation's a brand new thing, so let me back up a little bit. Because when you start reading Old Testament, you'll see things about the fear of the Lord as the beginning of wisdom, and the good things about the fear of the Lord. That is not the fear I'm talking about. That fear, when it refers to the fear of God, is a reverence, a respect of God, an honor of God. Did you hear me? It's not the fear we're talking about. But today I want to talk about the difference between faith and fear. Because the tactic of the enemy was to get his focus on the effect of the winds to cause him to be, and it says he became afraid. And when he became afraid on the inside, it affected his position of what he can stand on the outside, or what he could do. He could no longer walk on water. He could no longer stand on water. So he was dropping fast. And there's times in your life you might be thinking, why am I dropping fast? We need to look to the fear factor and to the faith factor. Can I get an amen? I'll make this quick. I want you to know that fear and faith are complete opposites. Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 40. And Jesus said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Fear and faith are opposites. I can tell when people are praying for something. They come up and say, Pastor, I want you to agree with me in prayer. And I can tell if they're in faith or if they're in fear. Some people are praying out of a place of panic and nervousness. There's no rest, Hebrews 4. And when you sense that, they're not praying out of faith. They are wishful thinking. It's not even hope. They are wishful thinking. It's like throwing a dart. I hope this works. It's like rolling the dice. I hope I get it. It's like some of you getting a scratcher and going, I hope I win. You know what I mean? It's so far out there. You're in a panic. You know what I mean? I hope my boss doesn't fire me today. You know what I mean? Stuff out there. Jesus saying, why do you not have faith? Fear and faith are opposite. Let me teach you for a few seconds if I can. Say fear and faith are opposite. So you can't be in fear and faith. And if you're in faith, you won't be in fear. Both have spiritual origins. Both start from a spiritual place. People think, oh, it's just fun. It's just scary movies. I like that fear stuff. I like getting scared. Well, that's one thing, but you got to understand there is a spirit, a spiritual force of faith, and there's a spiritual force of fear.
Right.
2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. So if you know from the context, just from this phrasing, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us something different. What is the different? The opposite of fear. What is the opposite of fear? Faith. We already saw that. What is the characteristics of faith? Look at it. Power, love, sound mind. I did a whole series just on that one verse. Power, love, and sound mind. Find me somebody who's operating in faith, and I'll show you somebody who's operating not, I'm a victim, and I'm just hoping someone rescues me. No, they have regained power.
Yes.
They know they're an authority.
Yes.
Like the centurion soldier told Jesus. And Jesus said, I'll come to your house. He says, you don't even need to come. I'm not worthy. All you need to do is speak the word only. My servant will be healed. Because I am a man under authority and a man over authority. And I say to one, come, and he comes. Another, go, and he goes. Just speak the word only. And speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. And Jesus said, I have not seen such great faith, no, not in Israel. But you have to understand, when we got to read, I believe that the translation's not the best it could be, because we're talking about a soldier, a military, someone in position of authority. And if how many people have been around military people or in the military before? All right, let me ask you, if you go to boot camp, first day, right? Do they ask you to do anything? Would you like to make your bed? Would you like to eat breakfast? Would you like to come on a hike? Come on. Some of you who understand military order, the order works because there's a hierarchy and there's a command that comes down the line. No one says, would you like to?
Right.
You pretty much gave up your rights when you signed up. Or they enlisted you, whatever it might be. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So when a soldier's talking to Jesus, he's not going to say, I say to one. We read it as, oh, would you kind of come here? That's not the way soldiers talk.
Right.
Would you go over there? That's not how, I would really appreciate it if you could do this for me. Soldiers don't talk that way. Why? Soldiers make commands. So he would have said, I command people to come and they come. I make a command to go and they go. All you have to do is make a command. And it will be done. Why? Because he was saying, I recognize you as the highest authority, and if you and sickness being a under authority, and if you make a command, the lesser must submit to the greater.
Yes. Yes.
See, faith understands that the word of God revealed to you, it takes on a position of high position. That's why Psalms tells us he has elevated his word above his name.
Yes.
Why? Because when God speaks, it's a done deal.
Yes.
Look at that again. Fear, on the other side, is power, love, and sound mind. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. We having the same spirit of faith. Faith is also a spirit. It comes from the Holy Spirit. He's a spirit of faith. We have the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believed, and therefore I have. We also believe and therefore speak. Better word for there, we also command. This is not the Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing. This is a place of position when you understand you have the revelation of what God's saying. And when the situation comes, you speak to it with a position of power and authority.
Amen.
Now that might not make sense to everybody. And that's okay. Don't throw it out. Put it on the back burner. And grow into it. Study it. Just say, God, show me if this is true. Because Corinthians says that, listen, the things of God cannot be received by just the understanding of the mind. It has to have a discerning in the heart.
Yes.
It has to be revealed by God to you.
Amen.
So for some, it'd be like, oh, right, that makes no sense. Well, then talk to Jesus, who talked to a fig tree.
Right.
He's talking to a plant. Are you kidding me? Did he lose his mind? Or Mark 11, 23, 24, this is talk to a mountain. What is the saying? That situation, if you understand that it is under the authority of Jesus.
Yes.
And all things were created. John 1, he created all things and nothing was made that was made without him.
Amen.
So when the creator speaks, both have an effect on your heart. Romans 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. We did a whole message series on that. Say, the God of hope
is filling me
with all joy and all peace in believing. See, when you're on the faith side, there's peace. It doesn't make sense how you can have rest on the inside when there's a storm on the outside. I know, that's the cool thing about it. That's why the Bible says not to be stressed out, anxious for anything. But in everything, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which exceeds your understanding, will keep your heart, soul, and mind through Christ Jesus. Why? Because it doesn't make sense to your reasoning why all of a sudden the impossibles come against you. But you have confidence. You have rest. You have boldness.
Amen.
1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. So you see the difference? Faith will cause you to be at rest and at peace. Fear will cause you to be tormented.
Right.
If you're tormented by something, that's fear that comes from the enemy. You need to know that, so now you know what you can resist, because if it's not from God, you have an ability, authority to resist it, because if you submit yourself to God and then resist the devil, he will flee from you. But if you don't know the source of it, then you don't know where it comes from, then you don't know how to handle it. But when you understand, wait a minute, God's not called me to live in fear. God didn't call me to live in torment. God didn't call me to live in bondage. I can be free from that. That's the first step in realizing that you have a fight, but you are the winner, that God has already called you to be victorious. Begin to exercise the word of God. Your faith, as God reveals it to you, begin to make a command and stand on the word and watch the enemy flee. He has to. When you submit to God, when you're submitting under the authority of his word, when you recognize that's where faith comes, that all of a sudden when you resist it, well, I resist the devil before, nothing happened. It's because you weren't submitting to the word.
Right.
Don't shout me down. Are you listening to me? Let me just finish with this. Are you listening to me? This will not be the place where we entertain everybody to make this a spiritual daycare, to wipe your nose and clean your bottom and send you on the way to live in a, to live a path that's taking you to hell. That's not the point. That's not my job. That's not my goal, is to see how many people I can get in the spiritual daycare at Hope Church. We are not, there will be an infant's room in the daycare. There will be a toddler room in the spiritual daycare. But you can be there for a little bit, and we'll tolerate you, and we'll love you, and we'll encourage you, but we want you to grow in the things of God. 10 years later, if you are still needing someone to feed you and clean you, and you've been around, something's wrong, because the Word of God will cause you to increase. The Word of God will cause you to grow. The Word of God will cause you to be mature. Are you listening to me? Desire the sincere milk of the Word that you can grow thereby. So don't you look at this place of, oh, I'll come. I'm just going to live in the world any way I want. It's my life. But if I have a bad day, I'll show up to church. We'll love you. But I'm telling you, you are on the wrong path and you will end in hell. I just want to let you know. You say, well, that's not nice. It's better than going to hell and not being told. I want you to know the truth in love. This is not a game. The devil will kick the crap out of you, laugh at you the whole way, and blame God for it, and you don't know what to do, and you're what? He said the word crap. You're more concerned about me using the word crap in the pulpit than people dying and going to hell. What's wrong with you? We got to wake up, and there's a real world and a real devil, but a real God, and you can't take this stuff lightly and expect to walk in victory. You have to go after this thing. You got to get hungry for the things of God. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. You got to say, listen, I am tired of doing it the way I've always done it and expecting and hoping for some mercy to be bailed out at the last midnight hour. Aren't you tired of living that way? You can live in victory. You can live with peace. You can live that no matter where you go, you are in the authority of God that He's called you to be. You don't have to be tormented. You don't have to be. I'm talking to somebody right now. You've been tormented by the devil, and I'm bringing you out of it. I'm inviting. You don't have to live in torment. You do not have to live in torment. You don't need the medication to solve it. You need the power of God to solve it. And I, right now, by the authority in the name of Jesus, I curse that spirit and spirits that torment you, and I set you free. Now, I command them to leave and never return. Now, in the name of Jesus. Say, I'm free. Shout, I'm free. Now laugh at the devil. Just laugh at him. You might not feel laughing. Let him know he's lost you. There's a greater power than him. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I set you free. You say, I don't understand it. You don't have to understand it, but you can receive it. You don't understand how your car works, but you drive it. Too many people get their head and all caught up and messing them up and from receiving from God. Now, you can't understand it, and I encourage you to get into the Word. But I want you to know, any demon that doesn't obey the command of God, Jude tells us that they are bound in a bottomless pit waiting for judgment. They don't want to go there.
Right.
Shh, you don't understand your authority. This is, are you listening? This is not a game. My goal is not trying to see how many noses and nickels I can collect on a weekend so that I can tell people how much better we are than them. That is not, I am not interested in that game. I'm interested in running the race that God has called us to run in and to make a difference and impact in people's life that He has called us. And if you want to be on that bus, we want you on that bus. We'd love to have you on the bus. But listen to me, church. Listen to me, child of God. Listen to me. If you choose not to, that's between you and Jesus. We respect people's choices. And if you want to go to hell, you're going to go to hell, because I'm not praying you out, because I can't override your will. We've had people think, oh, I'll just do what I want. And I got a grandma who's a saint of God. She knows how to pray. She'll pray me out. She cannot pray you out of what you choose by your own will.
Right. That's the truth.
Well, I don't believe that. Believe what you want. The power of deception is that you don't realize you're deceived. I want you to have what God wants you to have. We're not being greedy. We want you to have what God has paid for you on the cross of Calvary. We want you doing what God wants you to do. It'll free you up. You'll see victory and rest.
Amen.
We want you to experience all the things that God wants you to experience. But sometimes we just got to say, hey, wait a minute, let's be clear. This is not a place for you just to come in. This is not the 911 button spiritually, because that will not work over the long haul. You got to stand on your own. You are loved no matter what you choose. That's what you have to understand. Oh, they won't love me if I don't do it their way. No, we'll love you. God loves you no matter what.
Amen.
But it's your choice. It's your choice. It's your choice. We're going to stop right there in our message. I'm going to move right into salvation. That's the direction I feel the Lord leading us. If you bow your head and close your eyes. This is your moment. Heaven's inviting you to have your sins forgiven, your heart made right, to be born again, the Bible says, to come into the family of God. Good people don't go to heaven, only forgiven people go to heaven. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Jesus said in Revelation 3, I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear my voice, then open up. If you feel me tugging on your heart, I want you to pray this prayer. And watch what the Lord will do in your life. He loves you. Your Heavenly Father loves you so much more than you could ever imagine. Words cannot describe it. He loves you right where you're at, with all the mistakes you've made, with all the problems you've had. He's not the source of the problem. He didn't create the problem. He is a solution. Jesus loves you so much that he died on the cross just for you. He loves you so much. You are worth so much more than you could ever imagine. I don't know who I'm talking to, but Jesus loves you so much. The devil's lied to you and tell you that you're worthless, that nobody cares, that nobody loves you, you have no value. I'm telling you, he's a liar. Jesus said he's the father of all lies and there's no truth in him. He's telling you that because he knows how much you are loved. And he knows the brightness of your future that God has for you. Today is your day to wholly commit to God, to give your heart and your life. It's not a matter of getting a car to get into heaven, although salvation will get you into heaven and cause you to miss the judgment of hell. But it's giving your life, for he's not only your Savior, but also your Lord. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and do not have a right relationship with Jesus Christ, I want you to pray this prayer with me from your heart. Say with me, say, Heavenly Father, I repent of all my sins. I turn to you today. I believe in my heart. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in your blood, forgive me, cleanse me, give me a fresh start. Say, Jesus, I open up my heart and my life, and I invite you in to be my Savior and my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Now, here's what I want you to do. We're going to close service in a few seconds. We'll do a blessing over everybody's life. But there, I believe that there's times that we have to have a mark where we say, now I'm going to stand up for the Lord. And many of us, I know my personality, I if I'm in a place, maybe it's a new place, I don't want to stand up. I don't want to speak. I just want to kind of hide out in the crowd. But if we can't stand up for Jesus in a place that people will truly applaud for us, how do we stand up for Jesus in a place when people will try to mock us or talk us out of serving him? I believe there's a strength that comes when we start the correct way. You're saved. This is not a matter of getting saved, but I'm praying, and I'm going to pray for everyone who just prayed that prayer, that God would give you supernatural, according to his word, that you would be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, by the Holy Spirit. That means a strength, a boldness, so that you're not knocked around mentally in your heart, desire, and direction by sin and temptation and by every idea that comes. No, that you know who you belong to and who you serve. No matter if it's church people around you praising God or if it's the world at work talking like they shouldn't talk. Either way, it doesn't rock your boat. You're strong. you're strong. Amen? Amen. So if that's you, you prayed that prayer and you say, Pastor, I want you to know that I prayed that prayer with you, and I'm standing today for that strength in my life and my walk with God. Maybe you've prayed this before and it seems like every few months you got to keep doing it. Let's get it right. Let's get you started off with not only salvation and rededication, but strength. Maybe this is the first time. But either way, the Bible says the heaven celebrates for just one person. And I know in my heart there's more than one person. Some of you are bold and you'll be quick to stand. Some of you might be a little more passive. That's okay. So I'm going to ask the ones who are bold to be quick to stand up strong so that those who are passive will feel encouraged. Some of you are like, this is not me. When it's going to be over, I want you to start praying. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Come on. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Come on, church. If you prayed that prayer, stand to your feet. If you meant business with God, stand to your feet. Stay steady. Stay steady. We're going to let the other ones stand. Thank you. Thank you. Come on. Today's a special day. Anybody else in the back? Thank you. God bless you. Anybody else in the back? If you prayed that prayer at the count of three, I want you all to stay standing that's standing. At the count of three, if you prayed that prayer and you're not standing, I don't want you to miss this. At the count of three, I want you to stand to your feet. One, two, three. Stand to your feet right now in the name of Jesus. If you prayed that prayer and you're not standing already, who am I talking to? There's people in the back. I know they're, thank you. There's somebody in the back. Thank you. There's like two or three people over in the far back right. I don't know who you are. Thank you, young man. I'm just going to wait a few more seconds. And I'm not looking at you all right here. I appreciate it. There's others right behind you in this area. I don't know who you are. This is your heart is just moving. Your heart's beating. And you're like, I need to stand. I need to stand. But you're hesitant. Don't miss your opportunity. I'll do it tomorrow. There might not be a tomorrow for you. Who am I talking to? I'll give you a few more seconds. I don't know who you are. A few more seconds. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. I don't want to be the only one in my section. Don't worry about it. You can be the first. I guarantee you won't be the only. A few more seconds. 3, 2, 1. I want to tell you, I am so proud of you all. Congratulations. Welcome to the family of God. Give them a big hand. Stay or standing. We are so happy for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stretch your hands toward them. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, I curse every curse that's been against them. Every demonic tactic, plan, device, enemy that the enemy's used against them. I set them free from that. I'm bound to break the enemy's power off their life. I set them free from that by the authority in the name of Jesus. And now, Father God, we sanctify them with the precious blood of Jesus. I seal them with the blood. And I ask you to supernaturally empower them with strength from heaven by your spirit right now in the inner person. Let them be more sensitive to your presence. Let them be more focused to your word, Father. But let them also be so much stronger against any tactic, temptation, sin the enemy would try to bring. We set them free and we claim them for the kingdom of God today and all the way through to heaven. We thank you for that. And everyone said, we love you. Give them a big hand. God bless you. You may be seated. You may be seated. Thank you. You may be seated.